So I am starting a series called There's an App for That. And we're talking about different things in life that are happening in our own hearts or minds, such as image and identity issues, the bullying, cyberbullying, addiction. We're going to hit a ton of different issues. And we're going to talk about them, but in every issue, I'm reminded that there's an app for that. There's something that is a guidebook that discusses these things and that we can't turn away from them. And that's the Bible. We have to go to the Bible for these answers. And if you're a professing Christian, the Bible is your guidebook. It is the thing, it is the 66 books that help you through life, giving you examples and godly wisdom on what to do as a Christian and how to handle things as a Christian and whatnot. But I chose that phrase, there's an app for that, for this reason. It was made popular back in 2009 by Apple when they were trying to sell an iPhone. And they were giving different scenarios in which to sell the phone. It was like if you need to remember where you parked your car, well, there's an app for that. If you need to know the storm that's coming, there's an app for that. If you need to know how many calories a certain food has, well, there's an app for that. And they gave very, it was interesting because they gave very practical things to go. For someone who's hearing it to go, oh, that's a good idea. Like, why didn't I think of that type mentality? And so people buy the phone, people get these apps and pay for some of them just for the convenience factor. But for the most part, it is to help, these apps are to help you remember or to help prepare or to help you help someone else who needs information or just. Help in general. And so I couldn't think of a better way to better thing to name this series than there's an app for that. Because that's what the Bible is. The Bible is so filled with knowledge and wisdom to help us and for us to help others in our lifetime. With that being said, though, I think about how in the world today, there are a lot of people that say that they're Christians. They're actually, it's still the majority in the whole world. Christianity is the number one religion that's claimed. Whether or not it is lived out in people's lives is a different story, but it is the number one claimed religion in the world. And but at the same time, the Bible is one of the most misquoted books. And honestly, there are so many things that people say are in the Bible that are not in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's a quote by Ben Franklin. That's not in the Bible, yet people quote it. And then there are other avenues that people do take where they don't believe that the Bible as a whole is holy and true. They believe that fallible men over the course of so many years of doctoring and adding to and taking away or misinterpreting or miscommunicating scripture has caused the books that we have today in our hands to be messed up, to be not fully truth, to be fallible. Yet, what I also notice is in a lot of those people, they still quote certain pieces of the Bible over others. And if you just ask around to someone or a group of people that believe that mentality that the whole Bible isn't fully true, that there's mess ups in the Bible, if you ask them the scripture that they do know, most of the time they will probably repeat to you the really easy stuff to hear, the stuff that's sweet to the ears, the stuff that's almost nice to live out. But when it comes to something that's harder to live out or harder to understand, they'll say that that's one of the parts that isn't true. And I think that this is such a terrible argument, especially if you're a Christian. For this reason, it's very inconsistent. The passage that I want to read out of today is found in 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17. It says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Right off the bat, this says all scripture. All, not some, all. If it's all breathed out by God, then I have to believe that the sovereignty of God is over his message, that he's not going to let a fallible human being mess this up. He's going to stay on top of it. He's in control. I don't think that God is not from what I read in scripture, is he a being that is full of deception. That is someone else that is mentioned, which is Satan. And so God, in not deceiving, the Bible says God is not a God of confusion. He's not wanting to trick us or leave us in the dark. If it feels weird, it's probably not of him. And so in the scripture, if it says all scripture is breathed out by God, then I have to have an understanding that the 66 books I have in my hand are inspired by him. See, if the Bible itself was inconsistent across the board, how could I know what is truth and what isn't truth? Maybe the truth that I think is legit would actually be a lie. And what I am saying that isn't truth is actually true. It's like the friend that that you call and you say, hey, you want to hang out tonight? And they say, yes. And then they don't show up. But the person who says no shows up. It's inconsistent. It doesn't make sense. And so how do you trust either one of those people if they do that on a regular basis? See, they both have good meaning to them, but they're not consistent. It's even in the sense like if I had a flat tire on the side of the road, there's a person I'm going to call. And there's also a bunch of people that I'm not. Because the person that I'm going to call is the person I trust. But I trust every aspect of them. I trust that they're going to show up, they're going to help me out, and the other people won't. And yet, for some reason, we treat the Bible like all those other friends that aren't showing up. And maybe sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but you don't know when. We treat the Bible like that. We'll read it and then we'll go, well, that sounds nice. That's a coffee cup verse. I'll put that on a bumper sticker. I'll put that out on Facebook. I'll tweet that out. Like, that sounds great. And then we just leave the rest of it. Like, that's not necessarily true for me. It's not relevant for me. And that's why if we believe that the Bible is applicable to every part of our life, then all of it has to be true. All of it. It has to remain consistent from Genesis to Revelation. If even one verse is wrong, then all of it can't be trusted. None of it. We cannot trust any part of the Bible if just one verse is wrong. And so I have to believe that these 66 books are breathed out by God and given to me and to other Christians, to the church, local and universal, for this reason, that is inspired by him and profitable. It is so much gain to have. And it's profitable for this, for teaching, learning. It's profitable for reproof It is what I'm doing wrong. See, that's the thing that people don't want. People don't want to hear that they're a sinner. People don't want to hear that they're doing things wrong. So they'll leave those alone. People don't want to be the bad guy and have to tell someone else that they're sinners and need Jesus. And so they'll not talk about that. Well, we'll accept them. That part of the Bible is not 100% legit. No, it's for reproof. It's for correction. It's for learning what I'm doing wrong and then correcting it. Being holy as Jesus is holy. And those are Jesus' words. He says, be holy as I am holy. And then finally, it's for training in righteousness. This is for the future. This is for constantly becoming more and more holy. We are working out our salvation, the Bible says. This isn't meaning that we're working for salvation. We're actually working out our salvation, becoming more and more holy, looking more and more like Jesus. We're saved. We're saved. But we need to be different. And we need to be trained in righteousness. It's funny, I hear stories. In fact, I just heard a story from someone who has been doing a job for a long time and for the longest time has been doing certain things wrong. And when confronted on it, he looked at the boss and he said, the boss confronted him and he said, there's no training program. How do I know what to do? I've just been doing it this whole way because no one's ever trained me to do it any different. And it's funny because he was still held accountable, though, for what he did wrong. The thing about being a Christian is we have the guidebook. We have the training. We have it right in front of us. And it's all there. All that we need to know, that God deems us fit to know, is right here and is the training for us. But we have to believe that all of it is training. And it finishes up, it says, that the man of God, that is me as a Christian, that is you as a Christian, may be competent, equipped for every good work. You'd be ready. You would be ready to do what God wants you to do. Be ready and willing. And not just that, but God is giving you the wherewithal and the things and the stuff that you need to have him glorified and to reach people. Ultimately, he's equipping you to love God and love people by using the scripture. And so my question to you is this. Do you believe this? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the entirety of the Bible? Or are you picking and choosing? Are you, when you read something that sounds nice, are you diving a little bit deeper, maybe to hear something that's harder to hear? I mean, ultimately the question is are you living out the entirety of the Bible or only the things that it's nice, it sounds good? Again, if one verse is wrong, is a lie. The whole Bible is a lie. Because if this verse right here, 2 Timothy 3:16, is legit, then either it's all true or none of it is. My hope is that you would read it all as a Christian and believe that this is inspired by God, that you wouldn't be picking it apart for what's nice and what isn't nice, and believing only the things that you like and throwing the rest away. I hope that you're not thinking that this is a fallible, messed up book. It's not. It's all breathed out by God. Trust it. In every area of your life, in every area, whether it's you're struggling at work, with a relationship, the unknown of the future, Maybe it's your own heart. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a temptation. Whatever it is, there's an app for that. And it's the Bible. The Bible is our app for our life.